What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Survivor Podcast. All right, what's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast. And this is Survivor Edition, as we do every Thursday after the Survivor airs. So if you have not watched the most recent episode of Survivor, I'm going to say episode 8. It is the merge episode, then you need to go watch that beforehand. I do understand that the video might be frozen because, well, this is the last time I'm using this software because it's just not working. All right, but I think everybody should be able to hear us, which is fine. You can just see a still frame shot of us.
You can see half of my face, yeah.
That's right.
Hopefully I'm not picking my nose like Jeff just did.
You know how I didn't pick? It was a scratch.
It was a scratch, okay.
You're not supposed to touch your face, Jeff.
It was a scratch! Oh, that's true. All right, so let's see. What do we go with? Survivor Star. Oh, wait. With us, we have Jason. Welcome to the show. Do you have a number?
I don't. I have to go back to work after the show, so no beverages right now. I was almost hoping we could do it like later tonight. We actually could have a drink, but maybe next week.
Yeah, that could have been cool. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe we do a little after hours Survivor episode.
You get yourself an island drink.
Ah! All right, Scott. Welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm about. I don't know. I'm not a one yet. I am drinking a little beer there, so I just started it. So I'm not quite. A one yet.
Okay. Wait, it's 3:30.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's Louisiana, Jeff. I mean,
5 o'clock somewhere.
We got the video. It is not the software. It was me. All right.
Classic Jeff.
Yeah.
All right. So, So Survivor happened. And the first thing they did was come right out and say, battle back starts now. So what do you want to do? You want to talk about Rob and Amber fulfilling what we predicted, where Amber gives Rob all of his stuff, all of her coins, and what you call it? Rob buys up an advantage, which didn't help. It did, but it didn't in the end.
It did, but it's interesting how – so you can either use and get up to 3 advantages in the challenge – or you can use 1 for an advantage and then
3
to buy an idol. Perfect. When you get back into the game. And some people will say, well, man, just get through the challenge and win. But the problem is they have to be thinking, well, if I get back in the game with no protection, I just get voted right back out to the islands. Like, well, what's the point? So I can see why him and I think Natalie did the same thing. Just did the 1 advantage,
well,
but then
yeah.
used the rest of their tokens to get the idol because they felt they needed it getting back in the game.
Did they know what each other were buying, or was it done in secret? Because if I knew everybody else was only buying one, I'll buy one and get an idol. Or,
well, I think
like it was done in secret, or like they each had their own scroll, so they could each, you know, if I'm sure Amber and Rob told each other what they were doing, but you know, she might, Natalie might not have told, you know, anybody what she was doing. So
now I think that they were the only two that had enough. To do both items. So I got to think they figured they would each do the same thing, but yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I would want, if I knew that, if I knew everybody had enough for 1 advantage, not 2, I would have done that. And then you got to trust Natalie's going to do the same thing because it is, I mean, honestly, I would need an idol. I would want an idol coming back to the same, to all these old school players who just finished doing a complete run on, or new school players doing a complete run on old school players, except fast forward, you do learn later on that obviously they didn't vote based on schoolness because they kept Tyson in the game. And I don't think, though, if Rob would have reentered, Rob would have gone home. I think they would have ganged up on him.
Probably. It was kind of wild. I mean, obviously Tyson wins the challenge. It was a little disappointing because I would have liked to see so many old school players – do a challenge without an advantage so it's kind of a level playing field for everybody. You know, like some people, like Yule just got there. He has no tokens. He's kind of behind the eight ball. He has no shot for an advantage. And he did catch up a little bit. Now, you know, the advantage was a little too much, but I would have liked to see everybody compete on the same level because they're all historically great players. But it wasn't exciting. It was a close finish, you know, it was a very close finish. I really thought Rob was going to get it. Even, you know, Yul was making his way up there, and then his ball dropped at the end, and he didn't get it. But it was a close finish. But it was interesting that really Tyson's name never got brought up at all.
Yeah.
And Tony, even Tony mentioned it at Tribal. He's like, look, when they were in the game back when, it's totally different now. I mean, they're not gunning for
– Well, the merge does that, right? If Tyson comes back to a smaller tribe, he has nowhere to hide. And Tyson's on the outs right now. They're trying to, you know, they're fighting right now for, like they said, it's just this big ocean current right now. And I think they're just trying to see, like, where does everything settle? Where, like, this vote will tell you who you can trust and not trust. And then Tyson, I still think Tyson has got a very steep uphill to climb.
Yeah.
But he can do it.
I mean, he does have a steep hill, but again, like, at some point, okay, all these new school players are going to have to start going after each other, and maybe Tyson can be, you know, once it gets down to a point where it gets kind of deadlocked, he could be the swing vote to go one way or the other. And now, once it gets to the very end, like you said, it's going to be very hard for them to keep him around, you know, to keep him around unless he can go on a challenge run or something.
Which isn't that how he won another time? I remember you talking about. Wasn't that him, or was that somebody else?
I mean, he did. He's always done pretty well in the challenges, from what I can remember. He's always done pretty well. But yeah, I mean, it is going to be harder for him. But like I texted you guys last night, I do love the merge episodes because there's just so much unknown, and it normally a lot of people are scrambling. Do they go this way? Do they go this way? And it really does set up how the rest of the game will shake out.
So I have a few questions. For now, Jeff said they would have another chance to get back in. Is that, am I wrong in that, or
no? They said they said yeah, when that challenge was over, they said, all right, head back to the island. There'll be another reentry point at some point.
Okay.
Probably when, and then, I would assume when it's down to like maybe 7-ish.
How convenient!
But then they're also
that production is going to still find a way to help Rob win this game. That's why I put my money on it. They want him to win. They built a statue for him last year. They're not letting that work go to waste.
And then my other question was the jury. What there are seven of them now. What is the basic their function? Just to kind of watch and observe?
They vote for the winner, right? Scott. Come on.
Yeah.
I understand that. But he said there were seven. So is it going to be those?
No.
Like everybody's on the jury this time.
Right. There were seven so far as people get voted out or whatever.
Okay.
Eventually everybody's going to vote. There's not going to be, your jury of 10 and like so, seven people are just basically not involved anymore. Yeah. Everybody is going to be on the jury.
Except Sandra.
Except
because she quit.
Yeah.
She quit.
She got
so
the top of that.
If you quit the show, you won't be in the jury. Typically, Scott, new to Survivor, I guess, that you have like a 8-person jury, 9-person jury. Yeah. So this time, I guess, because it's all winners and it's about, you know, I think it's a ratings grab. Let's just keep all these personalities, especially the legacy players. If you think about it, I don't think they anticipated all the old school legends to be voted off first. So I think they probably pivoted midway and said, okay, we're going to do a 15-person jury just so we can keep Rob around and a few other big names around. Because if you look at the difference between the legend, the old school players, they're all the legends, like Parvati, Rob, Sandra, I mean, Tyson. And then you look at all your new school players, and none of them are really have that celebrité about them. And I was wondering, like, is it just simply because you've known of these longer, or is it that they're better players or not? Or is it the fact that all these people you know so well, because like Parvati's played the game like 4 times. Rob's played it like three or four times. Like they've all played this game multiple times. All these new school players have played once. Maybe twice.
I think that's a lot of it when you factor in how many seasons they've been on, how they're more in the consciousness of us and them, because it's, and I think I've mentioned it before, it's like, man, when a season's on, I am into it. When the next season starts, I don't even remember who won last year. It's just weird how that works out. Whereas these people, in addition to being winners, I mean, you kind of remember most of the winners,
right.
But the fact that they are playing 2, 3, 4 times, it gets repeated in your head and you're used to them.
Yeah, it's like, all right, if you went through and you said, okay, Denise, I didn't remember Denise. I still can't remember Denise's first season.
I remembered her season. That was the one where it was her and Malcolm. That was Malcolm's first season. Her and Malcolm were kind of together for a while towards the end.
I get Malcolm and Ozzy mixed up.
They're both? Or Joe. You get Malcolm and Joe mixed up? Remember Joe? Joe's been on a couple seasons.
Malcolm and Joe.
Right.
See, and apparently Ozzy too.
Right.
They've all got that long hair and the little kind of half mustache.
And they can never win the game.
Right, that's right. That no one will be Colby. Actually, Colby never won either.
No, Colby. He didn't. He came back and he struggled.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, like, I think that's part of it is you don't remember them because they didn't, and you wouldn't have remembered some of these legend players if they didn't. Yeah, Debbie, you remember Denise because y'all are the same age. And you wouldn't remember the older players because if they had only played the one time, except for, you know, some of the, like you said, a few big personalities, like Tony played one time. I would always remember Tony.
Because now, he came back a second time, but got bounced pretty early.
Yeah.
Plus, some of these old schoolers, like, they played back when Survivor was just this crazy huge phenomenon, when you were getting 30, 40 million viewers an episode. Some of the ones way back, like Ethan, Amber. I'm talking about, like, the first few seasons. Amber. And even Rob, was his first appearance was season 4. So that was way back when there were a lot more people watching it as well.
Debbie, yeah. Denise is like the Debbie, you know, like – Denise would be the pool manager at the club. All right. What happened next? So they merged. And what did you think about how they kind of like – nobody seemed to really go back to original alliances. They didn't even go back to the secondary tribes. They really went – I think that past relationships played – that seems to be a bit of a theme of the same season, is because you're playing a season, not just winners, but people who have met – and interacted with each other in the Survivorverse outside of the game, right? So, like, they have the parties, they have this, the get-togethers, they have all these opportunities to meet and interact in the Survivor community. And it seems like that's what's really forging alliances here. Like, look at Jeremy and Wendell. Jeremy's whole diary session was, I want to partner with Wendell because I've met him a few times in the real world.
Right. Them two being a little – two buddy-buddy kind of screwed Wendell big time.
The rookie mistakes.
And you also had the guys, and I get it, like Jeremy and Tony and even Wendell were like, hey, we need to keep some of these stronger players around as shields for us because, look, Jeremy's playing a hell of a fucking game right now, and I don't blame him. I'd want to keep Tony around. I want to keep whoever around just to draw the attention away from me and try to focus it on the people who are perceived as maybe not big threats, even though, like we said before, every single person playing this game right now is a threat. Everyone is. It's hard to fly under the radar. So for now, I think there are still a couple that are kind of maybe a little floating under the radar. But at the end of, I mean, you know, everybody's a target and everybody should be a target.
Yeah, I think that, like I said, you talk about Jeremy, you know, he's trying to kind of, like he said, control things without making it look like he's controlling things. But it almost looked like he kind of got his legs cut on from underneath him because they voted off Wendell, which he didn't want. So I don't know if people were kind of like, hey, look, Jeremy looks like he's trying to control it. Maybe he was too obvious, you know, with everything.
I mean, that's what it seems like. I get maybe Sophie or just kind of like, you know, steered the vote away from Adam and on to Wendell. And everybody just kind of followed. And even, you know, Jeremy didn't vote against it because at that point, you know, you kind of have to, like they were saying, like you kind of, even though he didn't want Wendell to go, like you can't be one of the guys that voted against him, like Michelle and Nick, who are now just like, well, fuck, we were the two people who had no idea what was going on. And now you're stuck.
Yeah, they kind of had to roll with the tide, you know, kind of thing, with the current, as they were saying.
So I love that that metaphor. And he's right. You feel it out. And this, more than many I could remember in recent history, it was a perfect example of new Survivor versus old Survivor. You know, old Survivor, it was even like you merge, you link back up, you lock in, and these are the numbers, and you play those numbers, and you try to swing one vote or something. Mm-hmm. Here, it's everybody goes and talks to all the people You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to talk to Scott, and we have we and Scott have a relationship where no matter what, like, we might be a 7 or a 10 or whatever. Then I'm going to talk to Jason. Then I'm going to, and you start to gauge. And so it is a very, that's what Jeff means by it always being so fluid. It's that you base your decision not on a single team, but on a personal relationship that you have with each of these 15 people or however many people are on the tribe. And it just like that majority happens. Somehow it happened as a majority. I think I'm surprised at how many like lopsided votes there are in this universe, because you would think like, look, Scott and I talked, we're going to go with Wendell tonight. But if I talk to Jason and Jason's like, look, I want to go with Adam. And I'm like, okay, Jason wants to go with Adam. Like, at what point do I tell Jason, look, let's do Wendell because me and Scott are doing Wendell. You know, or not, or try, you know what I mean? Like, so at some point, the overarching feeling was to get Wendell out.
You just never know how everybody else is going to vote. So it's kind of tricky. You don't want to be the odd man out and vote for Adam, but nobody else voted for him, kind of like Michelle and Nick are. So I don't know. Do you think one of them is going to be the next to go? They're kind of seem like they're out of the loop.
That's who I would target. Just, hey, it's not me. Get rid of somebody else. I mean, it seems like that's the way they should go. It is kind of amazing, too, how fluid everything is. But at the end of the day, like, you still need to kind of have, like, a final 3-4. You do need to have a core group if you want to make it to the end of the game. Right. So,
do they typically do on the challenges, do they typically do men and women's immunity like that?
I mean, they do it sometimes. It's not a lot. I mean, I get why they did it for this first one, because it's the merge. You kind of want to, you know, I guess maybe, increase the possibility of an original plan going awry. Because look, they were all going to go for Denise, it sounded like, and then she goes out and wins that immunity, and boom,
that's out the window. So next challenge, he could just say there's only one, or do you think they'll keep it?
No. I think it'll probably be just one. I think just because of this first one, usually sometimes they'll do that at the first merge when they'll do one each, and then they'll kind of go from there, just do the one. So okay. I really wish it wasn't. I don't want to see a bunch of endurance challenges.
That usually happens though in after a merge, especially when you don't have, like, you know what I mean, when you don't have that majority situation, or when you have like an odd number or something. I did think so I'm glad you brought the challenge up. So the fall that Michelle had, I swear, oof, it was like a Jabari Greer situation.
That was it. It looked a good thing. There was a lot of sand under there, but it didn't look good at all.
That was fun. And I started thinking like, why would they let them even do this challenge when it's so cold and wet? I mean, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
I mean, what if she'd have broke her leg? Like, what if the bone was sticking out of her leg?
Then she would have gone home, I guess.
That would have been horrible. Although, to be honest, I don't like her, and I kind of don't want her in the game, and there was a part of me that was like, I wouldn't have been upset if she would have been medically removed. I mean, I'd be upset for her as a human being. I don't wish harm on people.
Why don't you like Michelle, just out of curiosity?
I just don't like her personality. I don't like the I don't like her.
I still feel she shouldn't have won her season. That's and she shouldn't be here. Somebody else should be here. That's just me.
Yeah.
And she was kind
of,
you know,
one of those people who are just like, she's so self-righteous, or so she's so right about everything, and she knows. I don't know. I just don't like her. She gives me a bad vibe.
Now, Jason, did you have Wendell? Was he your guy?
Wendell's my guy. Technically, he's still in the game. So, are we? I do need to pick a replacement that's still in the game, correct? But if Wendell comes back in, I'm riding or dying with Wendell. I think he can win the next comeback challenge. He'll beat Rob, and the producers are like, okay, go back, and we'll have another play-in in another 2 weeks, according to Jeff. So I'm still going to ride or die with Wendell. I think he'll make it back. I think he'll win the get-back-in challenge and get back in the game.
So do you have another person to pick for your
– I'm gonna go with Sophie. I think Sophie's playing a really strong game. She has an idol. She seems to be directing some of these votes, I think, and she's not – why do one of y'all pick Sophie? No.
No, she's all yours.
You can have her.
Okay. Look, remember this. Remember how fun. It was like, okay, you're going to have her. Like, but she's
that the way we're reacting is exactly why you should pick her.
Right? She's
She's
playing a really good game, and nobody really seems to, at least according to the edit, you know, nobody seems to be acknowledging it right now. Now, at some point, like people are going to have to start making big moves to build resumes, but for right now, she's playing an incredibly strong game.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. If she's truly directing, and like if she, it was hard for me to follow because it was so much happening yesterday, and like I was trying to pinpoint that moment when it shifted from Nick to Adam to Adam Wendell, and how it got there, and someone in all that was able to get another someone with conviction. I'm doing Wendell. That's what we're doing, to where that then spread, you know, like, again, like I told Scott, like me and Scott are talking and I'm like, Scott, I'm sorry. I know everybody else wants to do this, but we've got to get Wendell out of this game for whatever reason. And then Scott goes talk to Jason. I go talk to Ben, and you know what I mean? And it spreads out from there. But if she was that one, we'll never know, I guess.
I mean, unless she brings it up, if she makes it to the end, and when she has to explain to the jury, if she explains that movie, it's so crazy because it looked like you had Tony, Jeremy, Wendell, Ben. They were all like, keep the strong ones of Shields. Let's get rid of Adam. It's easy. And then none of those guys voted for Adam.
Yeah.
See, but Tony, this is where the last 2 weeks, I'm kind of aggravated with Tony. And this week, especially, like this whole, like, keep the Shields, Bulls. You know what, Tony, like, play the game. I know he is, but I don't like that mentality. I don't know. I just don't put it into words, but I just don't like him. He's playing like paranoid, or he's playing.
I think there's two reasons. One, when he came back last time, he got targeted incredibly early and was bounced. So he realized, well, shit, that ain't going to work. And remember, he did the Spy Shack, and then he realized, okay, that's probably wasn't a good idea to do the Spy Shack. Then too, like, I think, you know, he's trying to get to a point where he can start making moves. He needs to make it a little farther first, but at some point he is going to make moves, because if you want to win the game, you're going to have to do something.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's it. Like, I get it. You need to be a bit of a puppet master to win the game, but I just don't like this idea where he's recruiting on fear. Like, we got to keep these people, these targets in the game, and it's like, Tony, that might work with newbies, but you're playing with winners. You're playing with all alphas. Like, you got, they're all, every, like they said, everybody's a target. You're talking about, he's trying, I don't know. If I were playing, I would see right through his shit and be like, okay, we're not all going to be Shields for you. So I would flip it and vote him out.
I mean, he's a Shield for other people too. He's a very, you know, outgoing personality in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
but that's just it, right? His view of a big threat are the outgoing person. What he's trying to salvage is that he's trying to build an alliance of all of your in-your-face players, which is interesting because maybe his idea is, once we get all the in-your-face players, I know everybody's moves because nobody's acting. You know what I mean? These players don't play with like a Sophie where I'm sneaking behind and making underhanded deals here and there. These in-your-face players, they lay their stuff out on the table right out the gate. You know, bad poker faces. And maybe that's what he's trying to do, is I want to play with people that I can tell what they're doing before they do it.
You know, I mean, again, we're at the point of the game where anybody left in it can win. I mean, there's still so many moves that can and will be made. I mean, look, we haven't even talked about, like, Kim's still floating around, and Kim was dominant in her season, you know. She could go off and pull a couple of monster moves. Yep. I mean, there's still so much game left to play.
She survived that first vote. And then right under the radar from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Kim's thing right now is that she, ever since that vote, she really, what has she done? What's Nothing. Her resume?
Survived. She survived.
Yeah.
And what's the name of this show?
Exactly.
And Jeff, who was your person?
It was Rob, and then Yule.
And then
Rob again, because I was banking on him getting back in the game.
And then
Tyson. I'm gonna bet the long shot. Give me the 20-1 odds.
Okay.
I really would like to see Tyson find his way into the majority and actually get pretty far. Like, I mean, Tyson is one of the most entertaining characters on that show.
Yeah.
Like this season.
No arguments there.
Yeah.
And I hope that his little diary session about, you know, maybe being a father to two girls has softened me a little bit. I'm hoping the part that they cut was, so I've realized I got to separate that from the game. And we're going to see old school. Because old school Tyson, if you remember Tyson from back in his day, that dude is cutthroat. He's like a slithery little snake.
Great player, too.
He's a sneaky snake.
Sneaky snake. Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy.
All right. What else happened? Did they have a big meal? Oh, you got your Louis, get a first look at the new tribe. You got that.
Yeah, you did get that this time.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. There was the big meal where Denise told her.
Yeah, they did have a big meal. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still got Denise. I'm still going with her. So.
Yeah. I'm glad. I'm hoping that now that she's won the immunity and this has passed and all this stuff from Wendell fallout, that she's not the big target anymore, because she was going home. I guarantee you, if she didn't win that idol, she was going home.
Yeah.
Easy vote. Told her story about Xandra.
Yep. Easy vote.
People saw her as a,
yeah. I mean, at this point, she's, you know, she currently has the biggest move to date of ousting Xandra. So, you know, as much as she needs it to win the game, for right now, it's going to hurt her unless she could find her way, just win a couple of challenges and avoid some of the votes.
Yeah. All right. Any final thoughts?
Sad to see my boy Wendell go out like that. You know, he just he played a little. I mean, maybe it was just the edit. You know, the edit really wasn't kind to him this time around, because he really is a good dude. But look, there's still a chance for him to get back in, and I think he's motivated to win the next challenge and get back in.
All right.
It'll be interesting to see how he interacts with the old school players that are on Extinction Island, because he's the only kind of newer guy, right?
For now, but I mean, you're going to see that over the next few weeks, because that's all I got left.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of challenges they have maybe to get fire tokens. Because I'm assuming they're going to still have challenges and let them get fire tokens so they can get an advantage possibly in the next thing. Now, the aisle that Rob bought, that's his until he
– I think currently he has no fire tokens because he used them. But if he gets back into the game, I think he will –
he still can use the aisle.
Get that aisle, I think.
Okay.
Thing.
Interesting. Yep. All right. That's all I got.
So, but just again, another entertaining episode. I mean,
yep, very entertaining. Looking forward to next week.
Everyone is. So far, it's really shaping up to be the greatest season of all time, I think. Now, maybe some of that is because all these players already have a history. We all know them, in addition to them all being winners, but. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like there really hasn't been a slow episode.
Yeah. All right. No, not really. I look forward to it. It's one of the few shows that I watch, if not live, within an hour of it coming on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's that and Masked Singer is the only thing I watch a lot.
Yeah.
And Masked Singer is mostly because of the kids like it.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it's a good show. It's not bad. Uh-huh. Rob Gronkowski got voted off last night.
Good.
Yeah.
He was horrible. God, he was horrible.
I'll bet he was.
Just thinking I'm too sexy. It was not.
This is one of those shows that should have been like a one season, get the done.
No, it's a good show.
Now they're going to have to constantly get like scrape the bottom of the barrel as time goes on.
They're getting bigger and bigger with the people they have on that show.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will continue not to watch it, so.
I'm with you, Jason. All right.
Go ahead.
So the other thing for those of you, what we're going to do is we're going to participate in a fundraising challenge with the American Cancer Society, and we're going to do it in support of LSU. So the American Cancer Society has a program called Gamers vs. Cancer. It's a live stream fundraising platform, and right now there's a college streaming tournament going on with colleges from around the country. And streamers, and we are apparently, you know, we're podcasters, but we're also live streamers on YouTube and Facebook. And so any streamer, whether you play a game or not, can fundraise in support of the school. So the way it works is each school, let's say we're fundraising for LSU this week. We're matched up against, I don't even know what school we're matched up against right now, but whichever of these two schools, I think it might be like Florida State, whoever raises the most money in round one, which we're in, which is the first 2 weeks, will advance. The other team, then we're, you know, we can still fundraise for the rest of the tournament for individual prizes, but LSU can't win. And of course, there's only one thing LSU knows how to do, and that's win things, especially national championships. So we're gonna do our part to try to help the LSU Tigers win the national championship for the American Cancer Society. And the way you do that as a listener or a viewer is to go, I actually shortened the donation link. So you go make a donation, as big a donation as you can. And what we'll do between now and even then is we'll come up with some challenges maybe. But in the meantime, go to bit.ly/DPU cancer. bit.ly/DPU cancer. I made that a short link to our donation form, and donate, give as much as you can. We need to help LSU get past round one and beyond. And we are working on a few, maybe we can get a former LSU football player, or Scott, maybe you can get somebody from the gymnastics team. They're not doing anything to join the stream and talk. Let's talk sports with some LSU personality. T-Bob. Why don't we call T-Bob and see if he wants to help fundraise.
And Warren Morris is local in Alexandria.
That's not a bad idea. Who?
Warren Morris.
Oh, you know him?
Yes. I've met him a couple times. I know Matt Burns knows him real well.
Call him up, Matt.
All right.
Yeah, so let's do what we can do to help LSU win this tournament. The best way to win is to donate. And so we'll come up with a fundraising challenge. Watch our Twitter for some of the challenges. And then maybe we'll even do a stream dedicated specifically to this, like a little telethon thing. We'll get all the UK guys in on it on like a Saturday or something. And we'll do one of the big Saint shows or something. Anyway, yes, that's bit.ly/DPU cancer. And that's my final thought. So that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can like us on Twitter at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. Follow us on Facebook to watch live broadcasts. Subscribe on YouTube to watch or to listen as an alternative to your podcast app, which could be iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and whatever else is out there. So if all of that fails, you can try Dome Patrol podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Wendell donkeys.
The tribe has spoken. Something to keep them all warm. This morning, I shot 6 holes in my freezer. I think I got cabin fever. Somebody sound the alarm. I'd like to go. Make it somewhere, Mr. Scott. Any old place here on Earth or in space. You pick the century and I'll pick the spot. Dress on.